Welcome to Come Heal Yourself with Monica Goyle on OM Times Radio. Monica is a spiritual counselor and healer with a life purpose to put people in touch with their innate healing abilities, empowering them to live a life full of joy, love, peace, and abundance. Through this show, you'll learn to heal every aspect of your life by connecting to your higher self. And now your host, Monica Goyle.
Namaste, friends. Come heal yourself. Hope you are having a blissful Sunday. Welcome to the show once again. We have a very, very special guest with us today, Dr. Jeffrey Fiddell, who's MD and who's been working holistically on bipolar issues. We all know diagnosis of bipolar 1 disorder is a lifelong sentence. Unless you take and stay on prescription medicine, you cannot function as a normal, sane member of society. But Dr. Fiddell, an MD himself, is a proof that is not true. And he got there by turning off the voices in his head and listening to the one voice that counts, the one in his heart. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We are really honored to have you, and we look so much forward to knowing about your inward journey. So what was your life like before you came on this path?
Yeah, well, my life before my inward journey was a pretty typical American upbringing. I grew up in Great Neck, New York, and then I went to school, went off to college, Brandeis University, and then I went on to medical school, and then I went to trained in diagnostic radiology down in Miami. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And pretty typical American upbringing until...
And what do you mean by Dr. Jeff?
Well, I've always been of Western thought. I've been an intellectual of heart, and I really didn't know myself much beyond my thinking mind. So the inward journey is a discovery to find the beingness behind my thoughts. That's pretty much the inward journey.
And how did that happen?
Well, up until like about a year and a half ago, my life was going along, you know, just in a nice fashion. I was in a comfortable job as a physician with a wife, and everything was going fine, and then my marriage had fell apart, and then my dog died, and then I voluntarily left my job as a practicing physician, and then I threw my medications away. So in just a short period of time, I went through a very large change on the external aspect of my life. And it was this dramatic change on the outside of myself that sparked this intense inward journey that I took in essentially near complete solitude for about a year and a half time.
Wow. That must have been very hard.
Yes, at the time I didn't quite know what was going on. It was extremely difficult, but in the end I was able to realize that all the suffering that was going on was being created by my very own mind. And this was the realization that I could only know now, is how much my own mind was causing suffering.
So what happened after you went on that journey? What did you discover?
Well, the journey was kind of, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen because this is the power of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
When I got rid of my psychiatric medications, which I was on for 25 years, What's that?
For 25 years, you were on the medication.
Yes. For 25 years, I was medicated. I'm currently on zero medications. But what happened was the year and a half ago, I threw my meds away for bipolar.
Wow.
Yeah, I was medicated my entire life since the age of 20. I'm 45 now. So I threw away my medications a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And then what happened was my mind put me on a very wild ride. Now, at the time, I suffered immensely because what was happening in my mind became my reality. Now, it's only now that I can know that what happened in my mind was in my mind. But at the time, everything that was going on in my mind was real to me, like a dream in an awake state, so to say. And so when I threw these meds away, I slowly immersed into states of mind that created immense mental suffering for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of the inward journey was to learn myself outside of my thinking mind. And this is something I had never learned in medical school.
Right.
And this is something I needed to do in isolation because if I ever went back to a doctor and described the states of mind that I was going through, I would have been locked away. So society would not have accepted these states of mind. And in fact, I was so frightened by my own state of mind that I almost took my own life many times, and I almost committed myself to the institutions, but I went on. And then I was able to discover something very important that all human beings have within ourselves. And that's kind of like that's the inward journey.
That's amazing. So what prompted you to just stop the medication?
Well, there is a part of me, and this is kind of like the part of every human being, that really didn't think that there's just something dishonest about the whole thing. I just didn't feel like there was something that I felt deep inside of me that was it was wrong to take medications. I felt numb, and I really didn't feel like I was being truthful to myself. So this is like the part within human beings. I guess we're all humans. We know our answer inside. We always know best whether we're truthful to ourselves or not. We really don't need another person to tell us this. And so I had known that there was just something not right about it. I knew I could continue taking the medications, but in the back of my mind, I knew that somehow I was lying to myself by living in this way. I guess it was a lot of courage to take this ultimate risk and to do something of this nature.
That's so true because, Dr. Jeff, I am a holistic healer and I have met people with bipolar, diagnosis. And I remember someone who came to me for healing and shared that by taking that medication, it's so hard, they don't even feel like smiling. It's like it numbs them totally. It's like it takes the life away from them. And I can so relate with that feeling. Like you're just carrying on with your life. You're not really living it. It's a lie.
Yeah, that's the conflict that people, I think, in general feel, that they know they're taking the medications. I mean, this is the way I felt, but there is just something, there's something dishonest about it. that they're not there. It's not a true it's not a true life in a way. The medications can help us to go through life, but they also there's a very large price to pay with that. So we can exist in society, so to say, but at the expense of being, you know, very true and loving to ourselves. And that's kind of like, you know, that was the journey inward, was kind of reconnecting to, you know, truly who I was, which was pretty much the innocent person when I was a child. The journey inward is like reconnecting with the, you know, kind of like the original person before any beliefs or thoughts were even acquired in my mind. That's the journey inward, is to connect with the true beingness of who I was, and that's beyond all thought. And that's what all human beings are. In essence, we're all the same. Every human is the same, and some might think that we're different, but that's just a learned belief system, because behind the thought, that's how we all know ourselves to be the same. That's how we relate to each other, and we know what's right and wrong. It's an intrinsic human quality.
Yeah. And so it's important to trust that inner self.
Yes.
But it's so hard, Dr. Jeff. I mean, your own family will not allow you to not have that medication. It's like, it's imposed upon you.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yolito Pasquale and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids, healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60, because great things happen when we live united.
Donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We are back. Welcome back, everyone. So tell us about the experiential workshop, Dr. Jeff.
Oh, so this workshop that I took was pretty much my first step inward, so to say. What this did was it was run by this psychologist that I was seeing at the time, during the breakup of my marriage. And what happened was, It was a reenactment of certain traumatic episodes during my childhood. So what the workshop was is each person would play a particular role. Like one person would play my mother and another person would play my father, and I would play the child at the time. And I would do my best to reenact a certain situation that might have occurred in my childhood that I found mm-hmm. particularly disturbing. And what mm-hmm. this enabled me to do was start to actually feel again. And I think that's something that the medications kind of never allowed me to do anymore. It was the mm-hmm. first time I was able to cry again and actually feel, you know, not being afraid to feel things within myself outside of my mm-hmm. mind, you know, to actually feel things within my body, so to say. And that sparked my, there was a large, you know, how I really saw that there was really something beyond my mind. You know, I wanted to be able to feel again. There was a part of me that just felt that I couldn't feel anymore. You know, I'd go through life, thinking that I was all tough and stuff, but I wasn't tough. My mind made me into something that I was tough and, kind of invincible. And that's like a very strong societal belief, to be strong and to win and to excel. But, you know, and I had accomplished many things in the outside world in that regard, but I really lost the ability to feel anymore. And that workshop was pretty much something that opened up the whole gateway to see that there is more to just being successful in the world outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned about the teachings of Tao Te Ching. How did that help you, and how did you come across that?
Yeah, well, the teachings of the Tao Te Ching was extremely important. In fact, there's no way I could have taken the inward journey without that guide. I stumbled upon that. I think a lot of it was luck, so to say. A friend of mine that I was working with when I was a physician, one of the people that was an MRI technologist happened to have a copy of the book. I took it home and I started reading it. But I wasn't just reading this book. I was actually doing the practices. In other words, I wasn't reading it from an intellectual point of view. It's actually a guide to go into the very core of ourselves as human beings. It can be used in a way that we can connect to the very core of who we are as humans, and that resides within our heart. So much of society believes that the mind is all about mindfulness and it's all about development of the mind and the intellect. Mm-hmm. And this is a lot of, modern science. There's a lot of praise for, to succeed in the outside world or to be high in intellectual prowess, so to say. It receives a lot of praise from people. But that's praise from the outside. But then mm-hmm. what the Tao enables us to do is to connect to our heart intelligence, and that's the universal intelligence, because in the mind is the acquired intelligence that we learn from society, so to say. But the heart is like the universal intelligence that shows that all human beings are the same, and the Tao was the book that enabled me to kind of find this other part of me that I had not known, because I was never taught about it in medical school, so to say, and connect with my true self, and that's the self that resides in my heart.
Oh, beautiful. And looks like you were born with this purpose, and, you know, it was just your time to know your true self and bring out this teaching.
I was very fortunate to find the Tao, because without the book, I would not have known about any of this. It's kind of amazing that a book, first of all, you take an intellect, someone like myself, who's a modern scientist that's studied quantum physics and math, and, you know, I've always been an intellectual, and so to find a book that was written 2,500 years ago is almost surreal. That book enabled me to reunite with who I truly was, and so with all the progression of what's happened throughout humanity. There are certain things that even the intellect can never know. And in the end, we're all our greatest teachers. And this is kind of like one of my teachings going forward even now, is to allow people to start discovering themselves. My role in this whole thing, I think, going forward, is going to be to kind of teach people to start to reconnect with themselves, because they know what's best for them. I don't want them to take my word for it. I want to kind of guide them so that they can learn to kind of begin to trust themselves again and find out who they are, because only they can know that. I can't know that. They have it within them, just like I had it within myself.
Right. Now, that's beautiful. So when you talk about reconnecting with their self, I mean, what do you mean by that self? What is an egoic self, and what is a non-dual self?
Well, this was the amazing thing about it, was that, you see, my egoic self, or an egoic self, is a thought identification of self. So if you asked me before I did the inward journey who I was, I would have told you my egoic self. In other words, I would have given you my name, Jeffrey Fidel.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. I was brought up under the religion of Judaism. And I'd give you all these acquired beliefs and acquired thoughts, and that's the egoic self. And that's the self that I always knew myself up until this inward journey. And so what I was able to discover through the teachings of the Tao was the other self, which is the self that has no words to describe the self. So if you ask me who I was non-dually, I can't give you an answer. I would actually remain speechless because there's no words that can recreate. And this goes for all human beings. No words can recreate the intrinsic beingness of who we are. No matter how many words we can use, we can't recreate that. And that's the non-duality of self. And this self knows itself to be woven into the very existence of the universe itself. But you see, I use the word universe, and that's a universe is a concept of the mind. So what it is is the non-dual self is a no self, a non-self, meaning that the self is just is in essence a mind. A mind structure that the non-dual self is actually just existence itself, for which there's no name, and that's the non-dual self. It can't be named. In the first sentence of the Tao, it states the Tao that can be named is not the eternal Tao, And that Tao, which we're all a part of, is the unnameable existence. That no mind can ever describe it, because anyone's mind is a part of that that's being described. So that's why no one could really know the answer. Someone could have a belief of what it might be, but each person's mm-hmm. entitled to their own belief. But intrinsically, it can never be known. And so we're all a part of this, every single human being, and everything that we see around is a part of this existence, but it can never be named because no name would do justice to it. It can't be reduced into a word or any concept that our minds could create, because our minds are a part of what is.
Yeah. How did you surrender your egoic self?
I could tell you it was not voluntarily. but this is the part of it, and it's not that I wanted to surrender it. What had happened was, this is very powerful. This happened a long time, over a year ago, but I got to the point where, this is the power of the mind, that thoughts of suicide consumed me to the point that I didn't know what to do anymore. At one point, my son was in the other room, and I wanted to take my own life. I didn't know what to do. I was hiding knives in the house and what have you. I didn't know what to do. So what happened was I was able to connect with this other voice inside of myself. And I never would have known about this other voice inside of myself if not for the Tao. This is the whole thing. So I put all my trust in this other voice that was coming from my heart inside of myself. And then I pretty much surrendered every single idea of who I was at that point and followed this voice. And I pointed the voice within coming from my heart as my teacher. And I would go on for the next year. I was actually afraid to leave that voice within myself for quite some time. So it took me a long time to reintegrate into society
mm-hmm.
and move away from that voice within myself.
Yeah. And we will take just a strong break here and be right back. Please stay tuned.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Carrie Ann Larson.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in a beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
And we are back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Dr. Jeff. So tell us, how is your identity different now?
Excuse me, I couldn't repeat the question.
Sure. So how do you think your identity is different now?
Well, now I can kind of see myself in a different way. I see myself more like any other human being, because I know that it's just thoughts that would ever separate me from somebody else. In other words, you know, before, when I viewed the world around me, I kind of saw myself as different from the world around me. Now I see myself as the same as any other individual. And so that's the large difference of kind of when I go inside of myself, then I see the similarities of all human beings. This is the journey inward is kind of just reconnecting with you know, the very, very true self that knows itself to be the same as any other human being, and that's how I see myself differently now.
Okay, great. How did you come up with the title of your book, I?
Yeah, the title of the book, actually, I was going to have the book blank page because that was the non-duality of the whole thing, is that that there's no name for who I am intrinsically.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be hard to sell a book with a blank page. So I put the title, and it doesn't need to be pronounced I, although I had to put it on Amazon or what have you. The thing was is that it was either I or the number one. It's whatever the mind of the interpreter makes it to be, because a symbol or a name can never recreate the true essence of any individual. And this is the problem with language, is it's reductive. So even to say I know it's some people say I didn't know whether I thought it was going to be one, but I just put that symbol there just to put something on the page, and I put it in some kind of ancient text to just connotate that language is just that. It's a tool. In fact, language, written language, is fairly modern. But even without language, and even without science, and even without everything that humans have ever created in the history, whether it's named or whether it's not named, existence is, and that's true for any human being. We are here whether we speak or whether we know or not. The existence is just intrinsic, whether it's named or unnamed. And that's kind of, that was taught to me by the teachings of the Tao.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is your book meant to help people suffering from mental illness?
The book is in two parts. The first part of the book is pretty much a memoir of what exactly happened to me personally. And the second part of the book explores the concept of non-duality. Like I said before, I think what the book is going to show is that, and what I'm going to be able to serve as my role in the whole thing will be to try and teach people to connect with themselves in a way that only they can do. In other words, and this is what's going on in modern science, is people are going to doctors to get their answer, or they're taking meds to get their answer. But then they're just going to doctors all their lives and talking about their problems or taking medications for their problems without really confronting the etiology of where it's coming from. And so to go feel again and to go forgive within ourselves are things that only the person themselves can do. And that's the only way to really start to get to the etiology of where their problem is. Otherwise, they'll just spend their lives talking about their problems or medicating themselves. You know, it's all too easy to just keep putting off our problems day after day and thinking somehow they're going to go away, but they don't. The only way to go heal ourselves is to truly to go to where we may not feel comfortable going. But we'll find when we go to these places that we might be afraid of going to inside of ourselves, that's when we start to heal ourselves. There's no avoiding it. Because if we avoid it, then we spend our lives avoiding ourselves. And that's not there won't be a day that comes when, you know, we avoid ourselves our lives and then that's it. Our lives are over. So, but it's up to the individual whether they want to take this journey inward. And it's kind of like my goal is to try and help people to, you know, to discover themselves, which only they can do for themselves in the end.
So that's so true. That's so beautiful and that's so true. I mean, we all try to take easy way out, you know, but keep living in that misery and suffering. It's just, you know, making that decision, making a promise to oneself to discover the own self and end that misery once for all. So this is so beautiful.
It's funny that you say that because the reason that there is conflict in the person, you see, if there was not another part of ourselves, we wouldn't even have this inner conflict. People in general, every human being knows for themselves when they're not being true to themselves, and that's why they're experiencing their own suffering. So there has to be another part within us to even develop that conflict, and that's kind of... That's like you say, that's our conscious, or that's our voice from our heart. And the more we follow this inner part of ourselves, then the more inner peace that we'll experience in our life. But in the end, it's up to us. We all walk our own path in the end, and no one can walk it for us.
Yeah. That's so true. And the most surprising thing is that we all know within us that we can end this suffering, but sometimes it's just so hard to break through. Is that the laziness of the soul?
Well, I could speak from personal experience that before I took my inward journey, it was very easy just to blame others for anything that was going wrong in my life. So part of the inward journey was to point the finger at myself and take full responsibility for my role and my unconscious behaviors. Because I think we'll see if we look on TV all day, people are just yelling and screaming at each other and blaming. This is what the war is going on. If you just watch the TV, which is very difficult to watch, blaming, labeling people as terrorists, blaming other people for their problems, looking to other people or politicians for answers, which all it does is just divide people more and more. What happens is that, you know, if we see angry people on TV, they're just reflecting their inner anguish outside of themselves. In other words, anyone that's screaming on TV or is yelling at another person, they're just venting their own inner suffering at someone else. That's really what's going on.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. It's very unconscious behavior because they're suffering inside, but instead of healing themselves, they're just, it's all too easy just to blame somebody else or to yell at another person. And that's kind of what I wasn't aware of myself. I was doing that very thing until I saw myself as another. Then I can see the truth of it, that everything that I was accusing someone else of being, if I went back in my life, I found myself to have done a similar thing in one way or another as the person that I was judging. So part of the inward journey was taking responsibility for that, stop blaming others, and looking at myself as well. And that was very healing as well.
Yeah, that's such an important lesson. Thanks so much for sharing with us. I think that's the most important lesson we all need to learn.
Yeah, I think a very important lesson for us to learn is just, in the end, it's our life. This is what we have as individuals.
Created.
We are, that's our duality, so to say. Each person knows their own truth. We all come in and we all go. We're all born and we all pass away. And so while we're here, we'll know in the end how we've done, and no one else can know that but ourselves, and that's why, in the end, it is our road to walk.
Yeah. So, Dr. Jeff, tell us how your background in math and science helps bridge the gap between the spiritual community and the scientific community.
Oh, yeah, so... So this will be the interesting part.
And I think we'll take just a short break here and be right back with Dr. Jeff. Please stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
What if we got rewarded for every good decision?
Dinner. Meal needs a vegetable. Check.
Amazing!
Vegetables cooked with a healthier oil instead of butter?
Fantastic!
Replacing bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or vegetable oil, is good for your heart. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Visit heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back, everyone. So we were talking to Dr. Jeff about how his background in math and science has helped to bridge the gap between the spiritual community and the scientific community.
Yeah, so I actually, over the last year and a half, I re-examined a lot of the things that I was taught in school, including math and science. And you know, I really discovered that math is just a language, just like English or any other language. And that once I used to believe math is like some kind of intrinsic truth. And I think a lot of science looks at mathematics as kind of the, it's almost like their religion in some way, that they're looking at numbers as, you know, the answers that somehow it's going to give them the answers to the universe or so. But math is just a language, and the concepts just evolve just like any other language. In other words, there's no intrinsic truth to math. It's a useful tool, mathematics. You know, we could build buildings with it, and we can do all types of things with science, you know, build cars, spaceships. It's a very useful tool. Yeah. However, it cannot define existence, because just like language, it's reductive in nature. So even no matter what numbers I throw at to create a human being, I can't come up with some kind of mathematical equation to recreate the life that we are, so to say. Mm-hmm. So no matter what science is created, it can't recreate the essence of what is. And what I did actually over the last year and a half was I rewrote the language of math and mathematically proved the actual limitations of mathematics. I'll be releasing this work maybe over. I have to have it typed out and put in a book, so to say. But basically, numbers, just like anything else, are shorthand symbols to help convey information, just like any other language. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, you know. It's much easier, instead of putting a 1 million etch marks on a cave, to write out a number, 10 to the power of, six is much more convenient than sitting down and scratching on a cave a series of a million ones, which would take a very long time to do. So this is kind of, you know, and even one is a concept, because, you know, what is one? No one can show me what a one is. It's a concept. It's very useful. We have to define, like, we could say 1 inch. But that has to be defined. You know, you can't, someone had to say 1 inch equals this. There was never a 1 inch. 2,000 years ago, no one can say this is a 1 inch. Somewhere along the line, someone defined it, and then it became that tool. But it's not an intrinsic truth or an intrinsic reality.
Mm-hmm. But it definitely helps. Like you said, it's convenient. It makes it easier to explain things.
Yes, it's a tool. There's no denying that language, math, and all these things are very useful tools that can be used in the world for everything. We wouldn't even be able to have this conversation without math and language. I mean, we're using technology and phones, and this was all created with tools that we as human beings created. That's not to be denied. However, to look to the languages of math or language or anything else, to think that we can name the actual existence, I think, you know, this is where the intellect is running into the wall, because the more humans try to intellectualize or figure things out, and this is what was happening in my life, the less human I felt, because then I'm breaking myself up into some type of science, almost dehumanizing myself. Mm-hmm. That I'm not a science project, you know. Like any other human, we're loving individuals that can't be broken into chemical concepts. You know, we're not like serotonin and dopamine and GABA and neural impulses. Sure, we could come up with these ideas and things. But to break us down into science kits, that's not who we are. We're not that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
you know, it's a way of explaining things. That's not to be denied. Science is,
yes,
can find out things in this matter. But when we do start to break ourselves up into these components, then we take away humanity. Because each human being wants, we all have an intrinsic, we all want to be loved and accepted. Each human being, no matter who they are, we all have that in common, and that's kind of the direction where humanity has to start shifting. Because no matter who we might judge or where there might be, it's because that's what we want. And people that are angry, they want that too. They're a little bit removed from themselves is all, but inside of themselves, that's what they want as well, no matter who they are.
Mm-hmm. So what is love according to you?
Yeah, so love actually was interesting because I was taught pretty much that I was supposed to find love outside of myself, so to say, and this was this is how I developed a codependent relationship, almost expecting another person to give me what I felt was missing inside of myself. Subconsciously, that's what it was for me at that point. And I felt that anyone, you know, when I wasn't getting love, quote unquote, from another, I would get angry because all this is subconscious, but I almost expected that person to constantly give me love that I might. Because I felt kind of empty inside, you know, so I was expecting someone else. So the trick for me was to find love inside of myself. And then I found more that love is just simply being completely present with another human being. In other words, not relying on another person to give me what I need or what I think I need, but rather just when I'm with another person to just be completely there in the present moment with them, and that's really what love is just complete acceptance and presence in the company of another person. And that's kind of, what more could there be, really?
Wow. That's so true. That's the truth, actually. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Dr. Jeff, where can people find your book?
The easiest way to find my book is on my website. www.jeffreyfidelmd.com. That's JeffreyFidelmd.com. And if you just go on to find the book, just click on the link for the book, or it's on Amazon right now. The easiest way to find it is to put my name, because it's hard to find it under that single symbol I have. I found that the easiest way on Amazon to find this, again, to put in my name, Jeffrey Fidel, M.D., J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, F like in Frank, I-D-E-L, M-D, and then the book comes up in that manner.
And also, there is a lot of more video and blog content on your website that I would definitely encourage our audience to go visit and, you know, listen to it, watch it. That would give them great insight into your book and the help they can get there. Also,
yes. No, I mean, yeah, in the end, it's really my purpose to try and enable people to find this answer inside of themselves. And that's really where my teachings are going. That's the direction, is to guide people to find their answers inside, which we all have as human beings.
And I think that's the whole purpose of this life, to know ourselves and what this life is all about and what happiness is. And I think it's just within. It's It's just a state of our mind, and that's why we are here. So thank you so much for reconnecting us with our true selves. We really, really appreciate you being here on our show today, Dr. Jeff. Hope to have you again soon. Once again, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. We will once again meet next week, Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Wish you all a blissful week. Keep healing yourself. Thank you. Namaste.